Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Love, caritas, charity, agape, that unconditional love that the Father has for his children, that our Father has for us. This is the type of love that St. Paul is speaking about in our epistle lesson. And he shows that this sort of love surpasses all other spiritual gifts. He says, if I were to speak with tongues, that is, if I were given the ability by God to speak in multiple languages for people so that they may hear in their own tongue, as we saw on Pentecost, even if I could somehow tap into angel radio and speak Enochian or whatever it is that they actually use to communicate with each other, if I were able to have all of these tongues, all of these languages, but if I had not love, I would be nothing more than a clanging cymbal. I would be adding confusion where God has placed order. And so he says, the gift of prophecy. Even if I have that, where God has given me direct divine revelation to speak to others, but if I do not have love, then I am not helpful. Though I had all faith that I could move mountains with it, faith as small as a mustard seed could grow and I could change the directions of the mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. And if I took all that I had and gave it to the poor, though I offered my body to be burned on behalf of others, but I did not do it from a place of love, it profits nothing. Love is the heart of why these things are done. Love is the heart of why God raised up these men to preach the gospel. Why God sent them out to all nations so they could proclaim the marvelous deeds that Jesus Christ has done. Love is found in Jesus. To know what love truly is, no greater love has anyone than this, that a man should lay down his life, not only for his friends, but for his enemies. Jesus willingly goes to the cross to die not just for his disciples, but to die also for the Pharisees, to die for the Romans who nailed him to that cross, to die for sinners like you and me. He does all of this because of love. We love him because he first loved us, and it has to be that relationship. God has to reach out and love us first. Because apart from that, we are spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. We can do nothing good apart from Jesus Christ. Love suffers long. That is the word for patience, of course. Patience is long suffering. So every time you prayed for patience and wondered why God gave you a time of suffering to endure, now you better understand. That is how God trains us to patiently receive things, to patiently wait for things. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not look at what my neighbor has and says, I would rather have that than what he has actually given me. It does not say that I would rather have his wife than my own. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. I rejoice in the wife that God has given me. I rejoice in the children that God has given me. I rejoice in the parents that God has given me, the in-laws that God has given me, because these are gifts that he has given to me. And I rejoice that they have faith in Jesus Christ. I rejoice in that because those who have that faith, more importantly than sharing a bloodline here on earth, I get to see for all of eternity. And it's not because of me. It's not because of what I do. It's not because of them. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. The last time you got into an argument, was it because you actually put the worst construction? Was it because you implied someone's actions even when they weren't there? Because too often that is why we get so angry and frustrated. We put words in each other's mouth. We put concepts and actions even if they aren't what they're doing or what they're thinking. We condemn to blasphemy without actually speaking to a person. That's not love. Love focuses on Jesus Christ, on his death and his resurrection. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Every time that you have found joy, that your brother and sister in Christ struggled with a sin and it capsized his faith, that is not love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and rejoices in the truth. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. By and large, we believe that these supernatural, superabundant gifts that God gave to his infant church, pouring out the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and working through the apostolic age, the ability to supernaturally speak in a tongue that you have not learned, the ability to be given prophecy, the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit and write down Holy Writ, that after St. John the Evangelist was given that final vision of the end times, when he was gathered, by the way, on the Lord's Day on Sunday, we believe that most of these things have ceased. Not that God does not still do miracles. The fact is, miracles are all around us all the time, so we don't even see them anymore. The fact that you got here this morning without being hit by somebody else, the fact that you live and breathe at all is a miracle because God formed you in your mother's womb. The child that you hold in your arms, the loved one that you will go to have dinner or breakfast with this afternoon, they're all miracles. You are a miracle. Thanks be to God. Tongues cease. Prophecy ceases. We have everything that is necessary for salvation right here in the scriptures. The Bible, God's word. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But love will never cease. It will never vanish. It will never fade away. There are three things that abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Today is the third Sunday in Jesimatide. On the first Sunday, Septuagesima, we spent time remembering the age-old doctrine of sola gratia, that is, grace alone. We saw that those men went out in the field at different times and yet received the entirety of the pay, not because they earned it, but because it was given to them by the grace of the landowner. Last week, we heard sola scriptura, that is, by scripture alone. For it is scripture alone that drives the word, and it is the word that is implanted, and that salvation comes by the hearing and the receiving of the word planted deep in us that causes growth, the Holy Spirit pouring out upon us, nourishing us, watering us in our baptism. This week is sola fide, that is, faith alone. Salvation comes not by our works, but by the work of Jesus Christ. It is by faith that Jesus heals the blind man. And if it's the same story as in Mark, his name is Bartimaeus. It is by faith that he comes before Jesus and he shouts out to him, Son of David, have mercy on me. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. They tell him to be quiet. Have you ever had somebody tell you to stop telling others about what Jesus has done? Maybe you haven't publicly, but maybe your HR department has. But he cries out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops and he comes to him and he says, what is it that you would have me do for you? He says that I would receive my sight. Many of us do use corrective lenses in order to be able to see the beautiful faces of our family, the colors of the trees and the flowers and all of these things. But everyone gathered here in this church today can still see. It's hard for us to fathom what it would be like not to be able to see anything at all, to lose that ability to be able to walk, to be guided, to work, to do so many of the things that we take for granted because we use our eyes as God has given them. This man wanted to see. And Jesus says to him, your faith has saved you. It was not his works, it was his faith that saved. There has been so much confusion over the order of works and faith. We have argued over these things for centuries. But the scriptures clearly tell us that it's faith. It's grace that God has poured out upon us, that he works faith. It's not something I or any of you have done. It is the Holy Spirit that has worked it into your hearts. And when we got back to teaching these things very clearly, others condemned us for it. In fact, they went so hard as to say that we do not teach good works. And so in our Augsburg Confession, we read, our teachers are falsely accused of forbidding good works, as though that was something that we ever did as evangelical Lutherans. No, we did not forbid them. We put them back in their proper order. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. And it's faith that creates good works. We have no denial and no doubt that good works are a part of the Christian life. But we do not put them as the cart before the horse. We acknowledge that they flow from faith. It's the work of Jesus Christ. So we do not forbid good works. We rather acknowledge where they come from. They're not us. They're God's work. And so having faith, having repentance, being driven to the foot of the cross produces in us good works. Earlier in the Augsburg Confession, Article 6 on New Obedience, our churches teach that this faith is bound to bring forth good fruit. It is necessary to do good works commanded by God. Because of God's will. We should not rely on those works to merit justification before God. The forgiveness of sins and justification is received through faith. The voice of Christ testifies, so you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done what was our duty. The fathers teach the same thing. St. Ambrose says, it is ordained of God that he who believes in Christ is saved, freely receiving forgiveness of sins without works through faith alone. They point to Augustine as well. This is the universal Catholic teaching of the Church, the Bride of Christ, that we are saved not by our works, but by faith in the work of Jesus Christ. It is by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. And yet, St. Paul tells the Ephesians and he tells us that you are created to do good works. If you have a living faith, then good works flow from it. James is very clear that faith without works is dead. And this is absolutely true. If I am not producing good works, that is, God is not working good works through me to benefit my neighbor, then maybe I don't have a living faith. But thanks be to God, when you help your neighbor, when you sacrificially love your wife, when you provide for your children, when you nurture and you care for them full time, as though the world will mock you, these are good works. When you give to the poor, when you return to the Lord, you do this not to be seen by others, but you do this in service to our God. Faith alone produces good works. So, dear child of God, you are created for it. You are His workmanship. When you rejoice in the things that God has done for you, you tell others. When you have joy in your hearts because you have hope that this is not the end of the story, that you are not just going to suffer through this life and then die and that's all there is, but rather when you look forward to the day when Jesus Christ returns on His steed in full glory to purify the world of its sin, of its desires, of its perversities, where every wrong will be undone, where that which is done in darkness will be exposed by the light. This is why you have joy. Jesus Christ has trampled them all under His feet. He points you to the better way. Greater love has no one than this, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for you, His church, His bride. The church sings. Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow His example pure, through a world that would deceive us, and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in His footsteps treading, pilgrims hear our home above, full of faith and hope and love. Let us do the Father's bidding. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where You guide. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.